Good evening and welcome to Hutton Orbital Live, your up-to-the-minute weekly guide to all the goings-on out in the galaxy. For the next hour and a half...
Ish.
Oh, okay. For the next hour and a half-ish, we'll be bringing you the latest news, community goal updates, food sampling and name-calling from around populated space, and maybe even far beyond it.
Name-calling doesn't sound very nice.
Oh, no. Not that kind of name-calling. The other kind. You know, when we recognise awesome truckers and give the best ones a bit of free paint for their spaceships.
Along with the Rudolph Hucker, and of course your very own Harry Balzac, that's me. We've got Norma in the studio, as well as the apology officer, plus Wilma, and special guest presenter, Juan Kerr.
Delighted to be here. I've printed off my script and I've been warming up my vocal cords ready.
Lou normally finds that saying a lot is enough, or ow. Though that's usually when I've spotted him doing something bad.
What, like this? Surely that isn't bad, is it? Ow! Right, got it. Note to self, don't do that again when Norma's watching.
If you lot are quite finished, we've got some news.
Sorry.
You may be bouncy and flouncy, but you won't be the only one.
Persistent popping as bubble trouble bursts in Pleiades packaging palava.
Festive financials fortified as Advent Arcs arrives.
Truckery and cokery as Hutton puts the mockers on muckers.
Core Dynamics wants to get rich by giving things away on the cheap.
Pilots Federation goes all racy.
Lost leader causes Christmas kerfuffle.
I'm looking forward to warning you all about the next disaster.
And I'll bring you up to date with what everyone else is up to.
First, tonight, the Pilots Federation have been revealing yet more exciting results from their testing of tenuous atmosphere on-foot access to planets that have, as of yet, been limited to NPC access only. Following the Hutton Insider review earlier in the year with the team behind the first tests of jetpacks, we've received confirmation that after that particular incident, it was decided that there is such a thing as too much thrust, whether from Bradford or not, and it was 100% too unsafe for use by the general population. The team have been working hard to ensure that commanders can't do rocketeer impressions and fire themselves like unguided missiles all over the scenery, and have presented pilots with the compromise, known as Tigger Mode. With the range of landable planets to include those with marginally higher and lower gravity than on Earth, one concern was that should commanders bounce in excitement too hard, they had the potential to achieve uncontrolled orbit, and maybe even escape velocity, and end up heading for deep space, shouting, "Hello! Is anyone there? Can someone come and scoop me up, please? I'm lonely." Since the days of the first moon landings, humanity has found the picture of space explorers bounding the way across landscapes like sugar-fueled gummy bears both funny and compelling. It is now confirmed that your suit can be fitted with a tank of gummy berry juice and indeed allow you to bunny hop your way across surfaces. The gravity assist it provides, we assume, will also enable you to keep contact with the ground, toast some crumpet, and even provide warmth when you're stranded by the commander who gave you a lift, and then cleared off and are subsisting on biowaste fertilised potato on some distant world. We have had confirmation for the very first time that you're able now to offer a ride share service, not only in your ship, but also to loan out your SRV. We understand that insurance firms are providing exemptions for pilots who loan their buggies out to crazy drivers and won't be imposing additional fines. In recent days, there has also been a wealth of information released about new and exciting ways for commanders to provide percussive interaction with each other on planets. Flossie is looking forward to equipping her high-tech space pan for pan-clang fun, defending the mug against Dudley Doobad and the Dastardly Don.
Commanders who have found themselves unable to source packing materials with which to wrap their festive gifts this year may look no further than one Hutton commander, who, for reasons that will become evident, prefers to remain anonymous. Buoyed by a top 10 placing in the recent Ammonia Worlds Community Go, they were only too eager to immediately head off once more into the black, studiously scanning suitable systems. Their impatience guaranteed that they arrived in their new Goldilocks hunting region without their new ooh shiny super CG reward twice as good as any other or your money back TM display discovery scanner. Since there are no outfitting facilities at asteroid stations, they arranged for a module transfer via the Galactic Logistics You Click It, We Ship It Corporation, known for their profligate packaging. Galactic Logistics sent the ooh shiny scanner in a small box surrounded by questionable quantities of hamster bedding in a standard sized shipping container wrapped in 25,000 tons of bargain bubble wrap, the single sole shipment of their newest fleet carrier. Galactic Powers are consulting with the Pilots Federation regarding the feasibility of an emergency community goal to resupply stocks of polymers and liquid oxygen if suppliers in the bubble are unable to bring back stocks of bubble wrap to normal levels. Hutton News approached the commander for comment, but all we heard in reply was the percussive, persistent popping of plastic.
Commanders may have detected an unexpected bulge in their wallet areas. On final approach to the current festive season, the Pilots Federation have been rewarding commanders who carry out regular ship maintenance by issuing ARCS vouchers. And the swelling is not a result of commanders overdoing it on small blue performance enhancers. Remlock have launched a new line in snazzy comfort fit flight suits with elasticated waistbands and full haptic crotch for those who like to overindulge. So treat yourself and your ARCS wallet by firing up your ship system daily. Hutton News approached the Pilots Federation for comment just after their festive office party over a very bad link, probably affected by solar flares and the Mr. Dusty virus. In the Shinrata Desra system, a spokesman said semi-intelligibly, Oh God, no more bloody mince pies. Perhaps this is code on which Canine will no doubt be working, but draw your own conclusions. Commanders have largely welcomed the ARCS vouchers boost, but rumblings of, I'd rather have had some new socks, as those camel toe booties are just hideous. Well, this correspondent says to that, no socks please, we are Hutton.
I'm Mr. Dusty. Give me your trash.
The Hot Pit team, as reported last week, was likely to happen. We're in arms, quite up in arms, quite literally, as Hutton were thrown into war over Kokiri. It appears that the Elite Defence Force have lost control of their own NPCs, who decided to launch an all-out assault in the neutral zone. Unconcerned by the initial assault, Hutton sent a lone pilot to fight them off, which ultimately led to Hutton going down 2-0 in the conflict. At which point minor panic set in and pilots who were previously out and about grabbing exploration data for the Going for Gold 2 mission caught their nearest fleet carrier back to the bubble, dumped their load at Betancourt base, and then dumped from a great height all over the attackers. As ever, Hutton doesn't do anything by halves. And it appears that not only did the team carve the EDF ships into little teeny tiny bits, they were then scooped up, put through the onboard shredder, ejected, and then the microscopic chaff was given a thorough beam lasering before being swept into the main star for good measure. Alvin is happy to report that Kokiri now appears to be safe from marauding NPCs threatening to boil you up. Communication teams have reported the only response has been a plaintive, "I can't believe this is happening to me." We can. Tweak Hutton's nose at your peril. As with Alvin, our noses are important. We can also report that there have been various communications related to an ongoing spat over in Midnahus between the 10th and the 11th. We're not sure exactly what's happening or even what number is supposed to be in charge at the moment, but we can confirm that an integer is in charge of the system, another integer appears to be trying to take it back, and a faction fraction is engaging in action to achieve an outcome of some sorts. We'd like to remind the entire galaxy that Hutton's attitude to these things is that unless by explicit consent, a local PMF is always the home team, and anyone else is a dastardly invader. Hutton will always staunchly defend any home team and will call invaders rotters, cads, bounders, and other such terrible names too bad for broadcast before shooing them off. Ooh, we have breaking news. Yes, the EDF have broken and the war is now over. As you were, truckers, and that means listening to the instructions later in this broadcast.
The ongoing speculation about Lacon Spaceways, their mysterious shareholder that's blocking any takeover, and attempts by Core Dynamics to end up adding a collection of very nice space badges to their stable, is coming to a head with the latest attempt at a sneaky takeover. Core Dynamics have decided that the best way to achieve a takeover is to earn less money. Yes, they've discounted a range of ships in an effort to attract buyers back to the federal branded vessels. What they hope to achieve by this is anyone's guess, but they're certainly buying column inches in the press. There are more rumours that extreme bribery is going on behind the scenes, with a federal dropship full of Void Opals arriving near the homestead and retirement home of our own Buck Naked, former spokesperson of Lacon Spaceways. Buck, as ever, broke out his trusty space legs and Stetson combo and encouraged them to get off his land. Apparently, his retirement package is enough to keep him in barbecue and boots for many years to come. How this is going to end, we don't know, but that Rochester fella with his twirly moustaches is rumoured to be trying to get his hands on the secret plans for the Death Star. Sorry, Panther Clipper. Could be, though, that Lacon are going to kick him in the exhaust port and are resolved to keep the plans all to themselves. At least for the time being.
Today marks the 6th anniversary of the founding of the Pilots Federation and the launch of hundreds of thousands of new pilots on the galaxy. The team over at the PF, normally based over in Shinra Tadezra, celebrated with a live broadcast of their first ever Pilots Federation Community Manager Deathmatch Showdown. The Cosmic Cosmonaut accredited astronaut Gambit and newcomer Don 2, he's like Don Juan, and also known as Zack, just a lot less evil, joined Alec Turner of the Bucket Ballers for a Scarab Scramble, Fastest Fighter First, and Large Barge Charge around a city, vying to be the first to lift the trophy. The Cosmic Cosmonaut, also known as ARF, the driving force behind the resurgence of Galnet and the community goals, took an early lead in his SRV, with the Gambit taking a close second place into the first tunnel. The other two bringing up the rear. Alec Turner finished almost immediately, but was disqualified due to being a professional paid racer, leaving the remaining four to battle it out for the honours. The accredited astronaut managed to get his tartan knickers in a twist and lose his docking bay, falling far behind the others. But it was neck and neck right to the finish, with Arf's smooth manual docking putting him a Type 6's landing gear ahead of Gambit, whose docking computer mistook one of the pylons for a pad and ended up in a bit of ship-to-ship, chip-to-scenery action that's normally blocked by your inappropriate content filter and causes letters to be sent in by Mary Whitehouse. So, Arf wins, everyone's being mean to Gambit, and the other two may still be driving around the city looking for their ships. Congratulations, Pilots Federation, and here's to the next 6 years.
A summit of Federation and affiliated factions was derailed yesterday due to a location mix-up. Galto leaders gathered for an annual conference, summit and trade show in the old Earth location known as the Grove. There were in-depth discussions regarding finance, strategic placement of assets, and exactly how many volts it takes for a shock rod to make someone pee themselves when stunned. If you're anything like me, you don't need the shock rod, all you need is somebody to drop a story on you at short notice and hot news. Weapons companies showed off their wares, including the new Enforcement Drone 209 series by Omni Consumer Products, personal megaships, and power armour for Mobius Bog Spaniels. Things went askew when President Zachary Hudson, his presidential transport, had been mistakenly redirected to Elf Grove, a Christmas-themed resort in Old Earth's North Britain. Staff at the park refused entry to the misplaced president and his substantial entourage, resulting in a standoff between the president's FSS bodyguards and the elves of Glittermallow Valley. In a showdown with the Sparklebum Fairy, President Hudson was heard to shout that he would bomb this shizzle back to the Fonking Stone Age if they didn't let him in. She responded by telling him he was a grumpy, wumpy, poopy pants grinchmongle. It was, as the park manager asked the group to take the angry orange-faced clown away, that news came in informing the presidential aides that they would have to relocate to the Grove for the summit. In a press conference at the Grove, Hudson confirmed that the Federation is now at war with the people of Elf Grove and that he would send his new Biglier planetary assault megaship to the area by the end of today. He also pledged to build a giant ice wall across the border with North Britain, which the people of Glittermallow Valley will pay for. Elf spokesman Tootsie Sugarplum said, "This wall thing is a great idea. We can turn it into a candy cane mine and people will flock to it. We're happy to pay for the wall, but only in our elf currency, which is hugs." He also sent a personal message to President Hudson warning, "The president is behaving like a cotton-headed ninny muggins and will make Santa's naughty list if he isn't careful. We will keep you informed of developments as they happen."
Right, we're just checking that our guest presenter has escaped from the clutches of Mr. Dusty. Are you there, Juan?
I appear to be here. Let's give this another go. I think it's left the studio and he's terrorising the staff in the canteen.
Okay. Give it a go, but if you get targeted again, just run and we'll cover you. Cover for you.
Here we go. As Norma appears to have left Lou locked in his room for being naughty once again, it falls to me to do the necessary for the Hotbit team and bring you the latest update from Hutton Systems. Lou's left me a lot of lovely reports, and Hanky's been beaming information back from his colon all day, so I think I'm ready for this. Here goes. There's been an improvement in Hutton space this week, but unfortunately not strictly down to you truckers. Terrorists have managed to do what truckers have failed to do, drop the influence in Van Marlen's star. If we can keep that going for a couple of days, that would be lovely. We need to attend to the infrastructure failure in Y0855-0714, having won the war in Kokiri. That's the immediate priority. And apart from that, the systems are in a pretty stable state. There are quite a lot of stations that could do with lowering a little, but none are critical. So the message for this week is to clear the infrastructure failure, then move on to taking over Narensis. It's about time we got that sorted out. Over in Colonia, everything is in hand. We need to consolidate our positions so bounties can be handed in at tier, mission running should be done in all systems, and data can be dropped in Eol, Procol, Centauri, Durizo, and tier. That's all for this week. Over to Norma.
I And now for news of events organised by you, the Elite Dangerous Community. Commander Yannick has a couple of reports for us. Firstly, a brief update on the ongoing expedition Mercury's Wings. Link bit.ly/Mercury's Wings, where pilots are enjoying themselves with the usual craziness of mountain climbing, falling down, but unfortunately for us, nothing embarrassing to report. The other thing from Yannick is the date to put in next year's diary, as it starts June 21st, 33:07, for the Apollo 15 anniversary expedition. He tells us, the Apollo 15 anniversary expedition is a successor expedition to the Apollo 11 anniversary expedition. It's similarly an expedition with celebration of the Apollo 15 to the Hadley Apennine Mountains of the Moon. Apollo 15 is widely considered to be the pinnacle of the Apollo program and the zenith of manned exploration to date. All commanders, from new explorers to hardened veterans of multiple expeditions, are welcome to join us in celebrating humanity's greatest achievement. For those of you who like to sort out your diaries way, way in advance, details of this expedition are on EDSM, and we've created a short link to make it easy for you, bit.ly/Apollo15. It seems that last week's appeal on behalf of Commander Belwyn Darkstar regarding help with tritium as part of the Christmas Carriers Convoy 5, link is bit.ly/XmasConvoy5, fell on deaf ears. The forlorn commander reports, no help arrived. I'm cancelling my trip to the High G World and Sajay. I am just mining and saving up the tritium to get back to Wolf 562. It is okay. I will be lucky not to decommission my carrier. I have newer pilots aboard who would be stuck in Colonia. I will make it back to the bubble. The fleet carrier is en route. We have enough tritium to make it. Hopefully this weekend. The Cosmic Pirate will be back at Wolf 562. We wish Commander Belwyn Darkstar every luck. Did we miss an event that you know about? We are happy to publicise any community organised event, so please let us know and we'll include it in a future show. The more people who know, the more people who show up.